This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
8:20 this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mary Kay Cabot. What's the deal with Jarvis Landry? What's going on with Jadeveon Clowney? Are we going to do an interview with Mary Kay where we just don't ask what happens with Baker Mayfield? I just want to do an interview where, like, hey, we don't ask about Baker Mayfield and where he's going to end up and any of that. Like, it's all quiet on the Western Front. Because I have a feeling that if we don't ask her, he'll get traded today.
Is it going to be one of those when you least suspect it, it's going to happen?
Yes. You're reverse Candyman again?
Yes, I'm reverse Candy. If I don't mention it, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be like, oh, we should have talked about it. Then we could have been like, oh, first do it. Because it seems like anytime there's like anybody around and it gets close, everybody gets nervous and they don't want to do it. It's like, okay, then we won't talk about it. And eventually you guys will trade it. Mm-hmm. And then we can all finally, well, we won't move on because everything's personal to everybody when it comes to Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. But we can all start to move on and have our own lives, our own season, and everything like that. It'll never be kumbaya, but you get what I'm saying. Speaking of that, 8 o'clock, somebody who might need to move on, and we're not talking about Baker Mayfield, and we're not talking about even the Browns in general. We'll get to that coming up at 8. But Mary Kay Cabot will join us at 8:20 this morning. I'm starting to pick up, I said this last night on TV, and I want to say it to you right now, because I thought about it yesterday, and we started to talk about it a little bit, but I didn't use this word. I can feel the scapegoat coming. Can you? Like, you and I had that strong discussion yesterday about if Deshaun Watson, because Dan Wetzel, who was on with the Afternoon Drive show, you can hear that, 92.3thefan.com, he said he's going to put it at 8 games, right?
Right.
So if it's at 8 games, would it be a lost season? And a lot of people agreed with you. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people were upset with you. It was a nice polarizing show. But there were a lot of people, the people who agreed with you, they seem to have the same thing in mind. And I've noticed this about when we've done the Baker Wars, that there's certain things that the Baker haters and the Baker lovers, and I'm not going to use the other word for the Baker lovers, that they can agree on, that they feel they can agree on. And I think it's blaming Kevin Stefanski. Whether or not to run Nick Chubb more, run Nick Chubb somehow less, for who ordered Baker Mayfield to play, why was he out there? That seems to be put at the, and we don't know who did it, that seems to be put at the feet of Kevin Stefanski, and I think a lot of us do, including myself, because it's like, you start to think, well, if you're the head coach of the football team, shouldn't you be the one making the decisions? If somebody else forced you to play Kevin Stefanski, that doesn't make me feel good about you as an organization. That starts to scare me. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
So now, you go into this season, you have a hugely paid quarterback. Unless he doesn't play at all, how do you not blame the head coach? How do you not do it? And it was the same. We talked about Jacoby Brissett, and you brought up Jacoby Brissett and Baker Mayfield are actually a lot similar in their stats. You said it. I didn't. And I was able to get 8-9 out of Kevin Stefanski last year, where if you had a kicker, maybe you would have made the playoffs. I can't guarantee that Cincinnati wouldn't have played Joe Burrow and everything like that in Week 18. So it's a coulda, woulda, shoulda scenario. But you still got an 8-9. And your quarterback was playing nervous, to say the least, and injured, to say the least. So now you go into this year. If you don't get to where you want to go, in a packed AFC, it's going to fall on somebody. You're not going to blame the quarterback. You're not going to want to blame Andrew Berry. You're not going to want to blame ownership because you went out there and signed the guy. That means a lot of people are going to find somebody to blame. And that somebody, I think, is going to be Kevin Stefanski. It's highlighted by somebody asked us a question yesterday on social media where there was a poll going around, how do you rank the, or a ranking going around, how do you rank the coaches in the AFC North? Tomlin, Harbaugh, Taylor, Stefanski. And it was in that order for a lot of people. And I said, okay, it's hard for me to argue with a guy who just went to a Super Bowl. In fact, it's impossible. I know that's a losing argument, but I'm going, hey, only one of these guys has never had an All-Pro or Pro Bowl quarterback. If Kevin Stefanski had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon, how good would Kevin Stefanski look right now? Because Zach Taylor was that close to getting hammered. With Kevin Stefanski, he did, in 2020, he did a miracle job for a lot of folks. Now, I think a lot of people want to blame. I just think he's a scapegoat. And I don't know, maybe by January I'll believe it and I'll agree. But right now, I find it hard to believe. Yeah, Kenny, I know there's questions and there should be questions.
Kenny, what you
we
just
should always
said,
question our head coach, but boy, I find it hard to believe. I'm sorry I do.
But what you just said, were we saying that before last year? Were we saying that the Bengals had some amazing team and that the Browns were somehow hamstrung by their quarterback? We weren't saying that. So we have another year of evidence that happens, and we have a lot of things to react to. We have a lot of ways to react to
people
the fact
weren't
that
saying they were hamstrung by the quarterback
before the season into the season. Would we have said that the Bengals had some amazing quarterback wide receiver duo and Joe Mixon? No, because we all put the Browns ahead of the Bengals, and then we saw what a disappointing season they have. And so that is another year of evidence about Kevin Stefanski.
If you're honest with us and honest with yourself and honest with everybody in the room, you did wonder last offseason whether or not the defenses were going to figure out Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, for sure.
Your whole argument only so much Kevin Stefanski can do.
But the reason I bring that up is everything you just said, now you're talking about what an advantage the Bengals have. Well, why weren't any of us picking the Bengals to beat the Browns before last season?
We didn't. Honestly, a lot of us didn't think much of Zach Taylor.
Right, it's true.
And Joe Burrow was coming off an injury.
That absolutely
Zach Taylor was 6-25-1 going into last season.
So, very Hugh Jackson-esque.
So we had skepticism, but were we necessarily saying what an advantage the Bengals had over the Browns in terms of talent or even Burrow over Baker? No, we were questioning everything else but that.
True. My whole point, listen, I know that
admit Stefanski probably had a really rough year? He probably did.
I do, but there's so many questions that I haven't had answered yet. Like, why with everybody screaming at you, you seem to be a man of common sense, Kevin Stefanski, right? With everybody screaming at you, why didn't you run Nick Chubb more down the stretch? You know, and I know, when you look at the stats, he was one of the highest used running backs in the NFL. It did not feel that way to one single Browns fan. Now, I know that in different times, we don't understand these things. We don't get it the way football coaches do, because you could always say, yeah, you can't just run the same guy every single play. That's not going to work either. So I get that part of it, but these are unknowns. Now I'm going to sound like Rumsfeld here if I don't watch out. These are unknowns. Again, who made Baker Mayfield play? You remember seeing him on the sidelines when he mouthed, "What the bleep are you doing?" You saw that. Owen remembers
it. Against Detroit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why do you keep a guy out there who you know is not playing well? Who demanded that Baker Mayfield play? Did you really let Baker Mayfield play? That doesn't make me feel any better about you either. So I know we're asking a lot of the same questions, but I have to ask those questions again in order to provide some defense, or, hate to say it, a reason against Kevin Stefanski. It is as simple as, hey, you made the playoffs once, then you didn't make the playoffs. You go on the hot seat. Yeah, that's the way it works.
You overachieved. You overachieved your first year big time, and then you handled all the COVID stuff and did such a great job to the point where you didn't even coach the playoff game that you won, but you got credit for it because of how well you planned and your preparation all week and having guys buy in. But then you followed it up, obviously, with the complete opposite. You didn't handle things well. Every sign of adversity, it seems like the team handled poorly. Because a team that we thought was so loaded for Bear, a roster that we thought had so many advantages, fell so short. And you allowed this quarterback thing to be a runaway freight train and contaminate, along with the Odell stuff, contaminate the whole season, and then you miss the playoffs. So much so that you end up having to go a different direction with your young quarterback that you took number one overall. So there are a lot of slights there.
And his young quarterback threw him under the bus in 2 post-game press conferences last year.
Yeah, he absolutely did, and probably wanted to throw him under the bus even more. So I think last year created a lot of questions. As many questions as we thought were answered by Kevin Stefanski 2 years ago, I think you have a lot of those questions now because of what a disaster last year ended up being. And I think that's totally fair.
So how would you rank the coaches in the AFC North?
Oh, I'd have Tomlin and Harbaugh ahead just because, just sheer track
record. Oh, there's no argument I can make there. No.
So if we're just talking about Zach Taylor or Stefanski, well, if we're doing a what have you done for me lately, yeah, I mean, Zach Taylor had a great year last year. You could say that's all the quarterback, and you could say Stefanski had a bad year, and that's all the quarterback. But there's no doubt that they're on similar footing now, and I am worried. The one thing I am worried about Stefanski, again, who I like, and I'm not saying they should fire him or replace him, but I do think there's one thing that makes me nervous about Stefanski is it seemed like they really liked him. They really liked him because of his offensive scheme and his play calling. Well, we saw a lot of that look very troubled last season. And I always warned the Browns when they were going through their hiring process, you don't just hire a head coach because of play calling. Because even the best play callers, we then come back and go, wow, what were they doing? Like, what were they doing this year? Or what were they doing in this specific season when you know what hit the fan? Like, you need to hope that your coach is so much more than a play caller and a dynamic offensive guru. Has to be so much more than that because you're not always going to have the weapons. You're not always going to have the quarterback. And I know we hope we have that guy now, although that guy could be suspended this year. So how does he deal with Jacoby Brissett? Has to start 9 games.
I disagree
with
you.
You have to be so much more as a head coach in today's NFL.
I would put Stefanski third, and it's not just because of blind homerism. I'll explain it next. 216-578-0092. How would you rank the coaches in the AFC North? All that and the schedule release, when you think about it, is really just peak NFL arrogance. But we do try to read the tea leaves on it, especially this year. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Twitter reaction is brought to you by Chavin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. How do you rank the coaches in the AFC North? Question, I mean, it's almost like two camps of how you split the other ones. Like Tomlin and Harbaugh, they're in their own separate category. Both have won Super Bowls. I mean, if either one wins another one, they're going to be in the Hall of Fame. So it's really hard to do that. And then the other ones, Zach Taylor was left for dead.
Yep.
Gets Joe Burrow. And then you have Kevin Stefanski, who had the great awakening of the Cleveland Browns. And then now, I think that Baker haters and Baker lovers, Browns fans have been in this fight, this huge fight, just hating each other on Twitter and everything. They've been hating each other like crazy over the last year. But they've been able to agree on certain things, and I think some of that's been scapegoating the coach. Real Xavier P. Guys, as a Baker hater, I used to blame coach. But then I look at the film. There were wide receivers wide open that Baker missed. It's a passing league. You can't run versus 9 in the box. So since the QB was just terrible, I don't blame coach. Same plays called work with a decent quarterback. I wanted to run Nick Chubb more. I questioned why. But you also know, hey, if we don't believe the quarterback's going to beat us and we know that you have a really good running back there, we're going to focus on the running back. That's what we're going
to
do.
Well, I get that. I mean, but that's the 49ers seem to have zero problem running the ball regardless of how many guys are in the box.
But Jimmy Garoppolo was better than Baker.
Oh, don't say that out loud. People kill you.
He just did.
don't say it again.
I think it's the timing. I think people don't mind hearing it now because he's not your problem. Well, technically he is your problem, but you get what I'm saying. He's not the fans' problem anymore.
But what? Do you think that
there's another thing I got to bring up with everybody.
Non-Browns fans, right, nationally, who didn't watch the Browns games think that the problem was so much Kevin Stefanski as people who watched every single play and go, why are we calling these plays? Because you look at his record, he went 8-9. That's not horrible.
Let me give him time to think here. Say it again.
Do you think people who are not Browns fans that are looking at it from the outside in, right, are killing Kevin Stefanski as much as Browns fans who have watched every single action?
Hand on the Bible, I think last year and even last year, maybe I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it, but I had to think it might be true. I think they just thought the quarterback sucks.
Yeah.
Because he's polarizing. So, but I also think if you're talking about fans, like the coach is the coach. He has shared responsibility in everything. I'm not trying to absolve him of all responsibility here or find some other scapegoat for Kevin Stefanski. I don't like scapegoating. I hate it, but people do it all the time, especially sports fans. But what you just said, it's easy to just go, quarterback sucks because if you don't love Baker, you hate Baker. There's no in between. Right. That's probably why he's still with the Browns, because I think there's general managers who absolutely hate him. And I think there's probably some GMs who love him. They just don't want to pay the $18.5 million because their owner probably doesn't want to pay $18.5 million. Because for every person who loves him, there's another person who hates him. There's no, like, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is not offensive to anybody except for the teams he's played for. But, like, if we were to go, hey, do you love or hate Sam Darnold? No one's going to call in and say they hate Sam Darnold or love Sam Darnold. It's just whatever. Baker Mayfield, you'll be full all day.
I just don't see how anyone who doesn't watch the AFC North, every movement of the AFC North, can say that Zach Taylor is better than Kevin Stefanski. I don't see how you could just look at it from the box scores and go, oh yeah, Zach Taylor's clearly better, other than going, he went to the Super Bowl last year. Because the 2 years before that, people were talking about, Mo Egger was talking about, does he even make it through year three?
Oh, we all thought, mm-hmm. The fact that he was throwing the ball, didn't he throw the ball against the Browns like
63 times.
Oh, we all thought, remember, we thought
he was
reckless.
He's going to get him killed.
He's going to get him killed.
And he did get him killed, but because Burrow ended up getting injured, and you're thinking, oh my God, he just tore his ACL. Are we ever going to see Burrow be good again?
I mean,
then they didn't get him offensive line help after that.
He played hurt in the postseason. Last year, he played hurt in the postseason. Right. Remember, that came out after the season. And then you had where he nearly got decapitated during the year, trying to run with the football, and people were very critical of Zach Taylor then. Now, there were a lot of tight games, but I don't want to sit there and try to be nitpicky about a guy who did go to the Super Bowl last year. That's the ultimate trump card. However, I want to ask you in your head and in your heart, and it's more of the heart, more of a gut feeling than it is in the head, because we just don't know. There's no proof. I brought up Joe Burrow. If Kevin Stefanski had Joe Burrow and all the things that Cincinnati had, what would it have been? Let me ask you this. Now, I love Joe Burrow. You've been kind of on the fence with Joe Burrow.
I've said that I wouldn't be shocked if the Bengals missed the playoffs this year, and I think Burrow's
good. I think a lot of people wouldn't be
shocked. I think Burrow's really good, but I also don't, like, I think Deshaun Watson.
You think Burrow's top five?
No,
okay.
I do not.
That's what I mean, because I think Joe Burrow's top five.
And you did, and that's interesting. Yeah. So you, where do you have Herbert? We're not going to go over the whole list.
I don't know. That'll probably be something. Can we do that in the June?
They were very
close.
Do that
during summer half?
They were very close last year. They needed to win their final three before the last game where they could sit people.
It's hard.
And that game against Cincinnati, against Kansas City, they just showed that the other day. It is just an incredible game because they were on the verge of getting blown out. They're at home, and then they're going to miss the playoffs. There was a legit chance at halftime. The Bengals fans were like, we're going to miss the playoffs. Zach Taylor's going to get fired. And the rest is history.
Ja'Marr Chase took that game over.
Well, absolutely. I still think
we forget about how bad the last 4 minutes of that game was. Nobody made a good decision between Zach Taylor and Andy Reid.
It was very complicated whether or not they were supposed to let them score, get the ball back.
And the only saving grace we had at one point for Zach Taylor is that he plays for the cheapest organization in the NFL and maybe in professionals. Okay, let's not get crazy here. But at least in the NFL.
Yeah, he's getting credit. He's being given credit for how that season ended and how they went on a run.
I'm dragging this part of it out too long. What about the other side? What would Kevin Stefanski do with Joe Burrow? What would Zach Taylor do with Baker Mayfield? What would Zach Taylor have done last year with Baker and Odell? I think he would be completely ineffectual. Now, Kevin Stefanski, maybe to some people he didn't come off much better. But if Baker Mayfield goes out there, and what if Baker sucks? Like, what? Like, I know I saw a good quarterback at times, but you see flashes of good quarterbacking out of quarterbacks who suck. Joe Flacco was the best in the league at one point.
Sucks is a relative term.
It is a relative term.
He's still one of the best 32 in the nation.
Okay, but but when we say suck, we compare him to everybody else. I'm not comparing him to quarterbacks at Midview High School, for crying out. Well, Dustin Crum, so that ends up being a bad example. I'm not comparing him to that. I'm just comparing him to the NFL. What if Baker just sucks? What if after this year he goes somewhere else? And he just never has it. It's just gone, and he never has it again. Kevin Stefanski will have revived him for one season, hid his foibles, hid his problems, and no other coach can really say that after that. Except for maybe when he first started, and a lot of quarterbacks pull the wool over people's eyes when they first started.
I think it's hard. Both these coaches that we're talking about, this ended up, we were talking AFC North coaches, but we're just really debating
Kevin Stefanski or Zach Taylor.
Both of them are still so inexperienced in every way. Stefanski is somebody who somebody brought up on social media. Like, he was, they wanted him, guys in the Browns front office wanted him a year earlier. And he had been even less proven at that point. He had only called plays for a half a year and then a full year. And then the Browns already had wanted him.
And they got stoned out by San Francisco, and everybody's going, I can't believe we're picking the loser here out of this.
Yeah.
This is typical Brown. You remember that conversation.
Yeah, and then obviously 2020, the offense was really only good for half a year. And it was a great half a year. It was amazing. It was amazing to the point where people were starting to think Baker Mayfield could actually be not only a franchise quarterback, but could he be top 10? Could he be that good?
But
the following year, to me, erased so much of that confidence in the offense. It erased so much of it.
But was it confidence?
So between the two of them, they're both so inexperienced. I don't know how I'm supposed to make this huge case for one or the other, and then it starts to get held against him that he wasn't even the coach on the field the week in Pittsburgh that they won the playoff game. He wasn't even there. And then
Kansas City. People notice these things when you don't make the playoffs.
Right. It is that way. And then Kansas City, then you start to bring up, man, they had everything going for him. And they had Chad Henne, and they couldn't win that game.
And he had that emotional moment where he threw the challenge flag when he really shouldn't have thrown the challenge flag because he was upset about a challenge flag he should have thrown in the first half with Rashard Higgins. All that stuff. Was it Rashard? It might have been a different scenario, but I know he was upset over the first one he threw,
and
or
so
he didn't throw.
If you ask me in my gut, do I think Stefanski is a better coach than Zach Taylor? I'd say yes, but I don't have a ton of evidence for it. I don't have a ton of it. How many huge games has Stefanski coached in? How many huge games has Zach Taylor coached in?
He's coached in the Super Bowl.
Zach Taylor coached.
Pretty big game.
He needed every single one of those games to get to the playoffs, and then they got to the playoffs, and then they won those games. And yeah, we can just always say, well, yeah, he's getting bailed out. I mean, what do we think of Andy Reid? We thought Andy Reid was a good coach. We never thought he was a great coach until – we never thought he was a Hall of Fame coach
until
– Well,
even now afterwards, the old arguments about Andy Reid are being brought. The thing I'm trying to do is I know it's going to be a fool's errand because if they don't do well – and maybe I'll feel differently by the end of the year. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel in January as opposed to right now on May 12th. What I'm trying to do is kind of cool things off because I can see it already. Browns fans don't want to fight with each other, and they've been fighting with each other for 2 years about Baker Mayfield. Really 2 years. And if we want to go even further, certainly before even the draft that Baker Mayfield was taken. They don't like fighting each other, at least on social media. And I know social media is not real, but that's where these things all play out. They don't want to fight each other. They want to be fun with each other. And Baker Mayfield was a very polarizing figure. Well, now Baker's on his way out. And so now that you have this other quarterback who has his own set of baggage that we have to go over. And the thing that I think that a lot of Browns fans can agree on is going, well, we didn't make the playoffs. And Kevin Stefanski, you know what? He wasn't even the coach of the football team when they won that game against Pittsburgh. Boy, it was nice beating Pittsburgh. Everybody hates Pittsburgh, but Kevin was at home in the basement. He had COVID. He wasn't the head coach of the football. Like, you get how this is all playing out now. Alex Van Pelt calls one game of offense against Pittsburgh where you've said it how many times? Pittsburgh spotted, quote from Anthony Lima, Pittsburgh spotted you 28 points. Even though Jarvis Landry didn't just part the seas for Jarvis Landry, but I understand
you. You had a 5-0 turnover discrepancy.
Exactly.
You never see that in a playoff game.
Like, I don't want to just sit there and keep having to go back to the other thing where it's the NFL. We're not about understanding here. We're about winning. And he's got to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many games he's not going to have as quarterback, but I see this league. Tomlin, Harbaugh, irrefutable. They're in a different conversation.
Yeah, they've just proven it over a decade.
Different conversation. Yeah. Can't even argue it. Can't even do it. It's the same thing to, honestly, it's frankly the same thing as, I mean, after one Super Bowl, it's just, you're just stacking them up. If we played in the AFC East against you-know-who, it'd be like, oh, of course, they're in a different conversation. It's just a different animal there. But with Zach Taylor, I'm thinking, wait a minute, this guy was the world's biggest boob before he got Joe Burrow. And even in the first year he had Joe Burrow, how could you do this? How could this loser, this lame, this cheap forgery of Sean McVay, that's what people were calling him, how could you allow this golden gift from God and Joe Burrow to be coached by this ineffectual moron, this idiot? How could you? And he was in the Super Bowl this year.
Well, did we ever complain about...
I'm not saying Zach Taylor's the worst coach in the NFL. I think he's obviously proven he's not. There's something he's doing that's well. It can't just all be Joe Burrow. There's got to be something Zach Taylor does well, but it can't just be all of a sudden Kevin Stefanski turned in the biggest idiot of idiots. He's got to have some smarts there. You have to have some players with talent. Go ahead, Double A.
When Case Keenum was playing, did we ever complain about Stefanski's play calling? Did we ever complain about Stefanski's offense when Baker was not playing? I mean, if you look at those
I think, Double A, we were looking at Case Keenum the way we should have been looking at Baker Mayfield. And you could still probably use that against Kevin Stefanski if you wanted to. And I'm sure Lyman can find a way because he's smart. But when you had Case Keenum or Nick Mullins is out there, it's just like, please, for the love of God, compete and win at all costs, whatever you need to do. Rob Peter to pay Paul, whatever you have to do. Run Nick Chubb 98 times if you have that many plays. Doesn't matter. Do whatever you possibly can do to win those games. And we didn't judge him the same way that we judged him with Baker Mayfield out there on the field, because half of us thought that Baker Mayfield somehow was like faking it or something like that, or wasn't as injured or whatever, and the other half of us felt bad for Baker Mayfield.
Well, isn't that what Tomlin and Harbaugh did and, you know, has done in the past when they have had inferior quarterbacks? You know, use the talent that you have and find the best way to win. Zach Taylor has, you know, he has not done that at all. His only success was with Joe Burrow.
Tyler Huntley is probably not the next big thing, but John Harbaugh was good enough where he had people calling about Tyler Huntley. You have to accentuate some play. Maybe when it's all said and done, Kevin Stefanski will have gotten the best out of Baker Mayfield.
I just think we know so little about both those coaches that we have such little track record to base either of it on. So, yeah, we're in Cleveland. We'll sit here and say Stefanski. I wonder in Cincinnati, are they all saying we wouldn't trade after that year? I mean, if we were riding high off a Super Bowl, whoever our coach was, if it was Hugh Jackson, you would make every case for that coach that just did that, because you now have those fresh memories and you just saw it. And you just saw Cincinnati, the fact that they did it with the terrible offensive line, the fact that they did it with a very iffy defense, a defense that we thought was horrendous for a big portion of the year. And then they were able to cobble it together, even with Ogunjobi injured during the playoff run. Like, you would make every case in the world for Zach Taylor if you were the Cincinnati fan base. So, I I'm in agreement with you. I would choose Stefanski, but I don't have a ton. I don't have a ton to base it on.
You were right. It's two pods. Pod A of Tomlin and Harbaugh, and Pod B of Taylor and Stefanski.
Yeah, what would it take for Stefanski to get us talking about him the way that people do about Tomlin and Harbaugh?
The Super Bowl. In multiple appearances.
So that tells you the pressure.
Long period of time.
That tells you that shows you the pressure that Stefanski is operating under this season.
Because as much as I want to defend Kevin Stefanski, and I am, the NFL has shown us clearly, you get about 3 years. That's what you get. In the NFL, you get maybe three. And in a lot of cases now, more than ever, even less. Coming up at 8:20, Mary Kay Cabot. Up next, the schedule gets released tonight. And while Lyman and I don't think we can read any tea leaves, it's not going to stop you from trying. Ken Kryman, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan. At 9:20, I want to talk about the cat. We talk about the cat at 9:20?
You can do that.
I was going to throw it in right here, but we got so much stuff to do. I want to talk about the cat at 9:20. Lyman has a very strong decision to make at 9:20 this morning, and we want your help on it. So if you want to call in, save it for 9:20. Save it for 9:20. We want to hear you about the cat at 9:20. It's a very big decision to make. And a very great way to end the week for him. Can't talk about that because Sarah Ono's in charge of the show now. Anywho, another thing I want to mention. I am rooting so hard against the Pens because of Pony. I respect hockey. I don't follow professional hockey very well at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know who some of the players are, but you and I are on the same wavelength. It's like, hey, I respect hockey, but it's not on my product ladder. And I saw some of the video. John Chandler, who's in New York now, posted a video of the Garden after they scored to make it 2-2, after the Rangers scored to make it 2-2. It looked awesome. And because Pony was in like a suite, where do they play, Mellon Arena? That's the old one.
Not the Igloo
PPG
anymore?
PPG Paints.
PPG Paints Arena. Okay. They play at a new place, and he's in a – I don't know how he got in a suite, but he's in a suite. And I go, nope, don't want you – I don't want you to be successful. I don't want you to be happy. I hope your team loses. I have no skin in the game. I'm not a hockey fan.
Yeah, but it's a catch-22. Who
are
they playing?
And I want them to lose. They're playing the New York Rangers.
And we follow people who are just as obnoxious over there in New York about that stuff.
Yeah, but they're not in a city that's a direct – Sean Marash. They're not directly in our way as far as – bothersome happiness, anything like that. It's like, no, I want the Rangers to win. You know
but
what?
That's kind
out of
the
spite,
problem.
I'm spite rooting for the Rangers.
But that's kind of the problem
of the
with what's happening in the NBA if it ends up, and may not after last night's collapse, but if it ends up being Boston and Golden State in the NBA Finals, you could say, oh, I'm rooting against them because of Draymond Green. It's like, well, what now? All of a sudden we have to root for Boston again? How did that work out? I used to root for Boston against the Yankees.
God, I haven't made up my
back
mind
in the
yet
day, and
that.
Then I ended up hating Boston more than I hated the Yankees, which was incredible.
I haven't made up my mind on that.
You do have to hate, you know,
it's starting to hate Steph Curry again, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to.
But that's what I mean.
Boston.
You know, a lot of people are like, hey, good riddance, no LeBron James in the playoffs. It's like, yeah, but you hate LeBron James. You would watch, if LeBron is in these series, you would be watching.
Yes, you would.
Hating him. And now because he's not, you just go to bed. And you don't care about the games.
Do you remember the last scenario you ever spite rooted for somebody?
Oh, I
spite root all the time.
Wait
a second. So good.
This is so complicated with LeBron. The entire duration of his time in Miami, I rooted for when the Dallas Mavericks, and I wasn't doing the Mavaliers thing and acting like the Mavs were my team.
That was a long time ago, though.
But then it turned into him in Los Angeles with the Lakers. As much as I rooted for him, I was then rooting against him. I wanted the Cavs to be, you know, his only shining moment.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not going to happen now. Now, we'll always debate which is his favorite title, and we're always going to say we hope it's 2016. But I was absolutely not rooting for him to win in other places.
That was a long time ago.
The Lakers was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Did you mention the bubble? You didn't mention the bubble.
Well, we don't know what to do with the bubble.
You put up a big fat asterisk, so that was the last time you spite rooted against
like,
somebody.
What am I supposed to do with all those things? The baseball 60-game season, I want to diminish it, but then again, Shane Bieber won the pitching triple crown and won the Cy Young.
He did.
He only won 8 games that year. So what am I supposed to do with that?
You don't want to do that out of spite,
I know.
Though. That's your own team.
No, I know, but then if I'm making fun of all the COVID years.
Well, you are a much more... I always thought I was a deeper thinker than you in a lot of things, but you really pick and choose your moments to have spite and have that emotion with you. I mean, basically mine is, I don't like Pony to be happy, so I'm going to root for the New York Rangers in a hockey series when I don't pay very close attention to hockey whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I got to look myself in the mirror after that sentence. How the hell with Pony? No, I don't want them to win.
Yeah,
I don't want the Pens to win.
Are you to the point where you're hating it so much that you want to watch it? Like, that's real hate.
I want to watch it for the reaction.
That's real hate that you actually want to turn it on and root for those players to play terribly.
It helps a little bit. It's probably reason two or three. I can't really think of another one. Other than the top reason would be the reaction. That video was excellent. When I see a lot of people acting in unison like that to sports, it makes me want to be a part of it. That looked really cool. They're singing some song, waving the towels. Like when the Blues won the Stanley Cup and they played Gloria,
yeah,
that was cool. That's like, man, that would be a lot of fun to be a part of. That's why I think the USFL is a failure already. Because there's 5 people in the stands. I want to be a part of something.
There's no juice.
Like with the XFL, that's one of the things that hurt the most about sports and the pandemic is that it shut down the XFL. You had those big, long beer snakes that were going on. People were having a blast. Like, that looks like a good time. I want to be a part of that.
Do you think one of those upstart spring leagues, I know what we think about the football, but if they could just make it to a second season? None of them have made it to a second season in how long?
Oh, yeah. I've been conditioned to feel that they're going to be a failure. And so I don't really put my heart into it. Plus, there's no, they're only playing in one city. So yeah, we've been down that road before. I just, when I see a big crowd having a good time, I feel I'm missing out. I want to be a part of that. I want to see that. I want to see the crowd reactions. I love people watching. So when I saw Madison Square Garden, even though there's a lot of New York sports teams that I either dislike or just have some form of nonplussed feeling towards, and it's kind of been the Rangers in that way, it's always kind of cool. I would like to see that.
I really wonder what football would have been like, spring football in Cleveland. In Cleveland. USFL team in Cleveland or XFL team in Cleveland. As we talk about how much we love football more than other places around here, but would we support that?
I think it would have been successful.
Would that last? Well,
I think it would be successful.
What's successful? Is 1,000 people in the stands successful?
I think it would have been... I look up the natural. Can we get a? Can we get a? You're gonna have to go back. Can I get an attendance figure of the original USFL city by city? Can we get that?
We'll go back to the 80s.
All right. If you can go back to the 80s, give me the attendance figures. I bet Cleveland in that mark, in those markets, like I remember Tampa Bay, I feel probably had strong attendance. Maybe Philly had strong attendance. Philly was really good, right? Philadelphia's.
Yeah.
And then Boston wasn't – they played in, like, Boston University's high school stadium or college stadium. I would say – I bet Cleveland would have been top three, top five. I bet Cleveland in the summer, in the springtime would have been up there. Coming up at 8:20, Mary-Kay Cabot joins us on the show. Up next, the schedule gets released tonight. Why you can't read the tea leaves. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.